Welcome to That Was Wild, a Minnesota Wild reaction podcast from Hockey Wilderness. You're here with Matthew Smith. You can find me on Twitter at From Tape to Tape, and I'm also here with Thomas Williams from... Wow, I'm having a bad night.
It's okay. It's Thomas Williams, your site manager for Hockey Wilderness. How are you this at this East Coast time at 12:30 in the morning?
I am as jumbled and as distraught as the Minnesota Wild should be right now.
Oh wow. Wow, that's a good tie-in. That's a good start. Yeah, so we're coming from you right after the game, 5-2 loss to the St. Louis Blues, and now the Blues have a 3-2 series lead over your Minnesota Wild. It's not the best position to be just one game away from elimination. It doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel right. Even though it is just two wins away from also winning the series, it still feels so far away from actually doing that after kind of a demoralizing loss.
Yeah, the game started off extremely, extremely well. Kirill came out like he was shot out of a cannon. Pretty much looked unstoppable every single time he touched down on the ice. And everything looked really good, honestly. I mean, we'll skip ahead a little bit, but it really felt for the first 40 minutes that this was the better team and they were going to win.
Yeah, like it felt very like the Wild did this so often in the regular season over weaker opponents, was that it just felt dominant. It just felt controlled. It felt that they knew the result of the game and it was going to happen. The stars showed up and they were able to put in a decent enough performance to hold out a win. And we've seen it so much, but the Blues just had too much offensive ability and too much capability of getting behind the Wild's defense. And I feel like the special teams didn't really help, obviously. But it was just tough to see kind of the Wild crumble defensively and just allow those two Tarasenko goals within what was it, like 88 seconds? It was something like
that. It was 88 seconds. Yeah.
Like it's... And that was the tying goal? No.
No, it was the 3-2 goal. 3-2 goal and the 4-2 goal.
Yeah. So just like almost immediately just, oh yeah, here we're winning now. Okay, now it's a 2-goal lead and you have not a lot of time to catch up. It just sucked. And it kind of showed the difference between the teams of a team that has been there before, and I know it's such a cliche, but it is just a cliche for a reason, I guess. It's a team that knows how to win these stupid playoff games, even though they were the worst team throughout the whole 60 minutes.
Yeah, just to touch back on what you were talking about with the special teams. Yeah. The Wild did score on both their power plays tonight, which is unheard of. Honestly, the Blues also went 1-for-2 on the power play, but I think there was a decision by the referee crew to keep their whistles. I think that really played into the Blues' hands as well. Like, it was pretty obvious that the Blues were pretty physical. There were some borderline hits from the Blues that the refs just kind of noticed. There was a lot of harassment on Kaprizov that they just either didn't notice or thought was going to fit within the flow of the game, as they would probably say. Yeah. And that doesn't help. And not to pick on someone, but it is his job, as far as how the team talks about him, whether it be Delorier or Middleton. And Middleton's been great, so I'm not really going to point him out. But Delorier, what the hell is he doing on this team right now?
Yeah, for a guy that like that when they met the Blues before, I think it was the third last game of the season, of the regular season. For a guy that said, "I have four games to kill you,"
and like said that to someone on the ice, a Blues player, to just like not show up or not do any of that. And I get it's the playoffs, so you can't really just like drop gloves or whatever as easily. But as someone that said that, you're not really trying to kill them or doing any of that.
No, and he's not even touching the ice, really. Like, so there is a misconnection. So either Delorier is not doing what he needs to do, or Evason doesn't believe in him or thinks he's a liability on the ice, or it's both.
Yeah.
So, like, he only got 9 minutes of ice time. And I just don't think you should be on the roster if you're only going to play 9 minutes of hockey. That's crazy, especially when you're not getting any special teams time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's different if Yost was like, okay, there wasn't a lot of special teams and he played 9 minutes because the majority of the game was 5-on-5. Like, it'd be different than that because he's on the penalty kill and everything like that. But it's just, it's tough to see just a wasted lineup spot, really, when it all comes down to just players that, and the thing is, like, even, so what Delorier can bring is physicality, and, like, and we've seen it before of him, like, starting games and just, like, a raging bull going into the back end and just, like, destroying someone on the opposing boards, but, like, and it starts the game, and it's kind of a good, like, feeling after, like, the drop of the puck, but, like, it's, we haven't seen that at all, and it doesn't change the game enough to actually like end up with a good record. Like it's cool and all, and it's cool to watch, but at the end of the day, I think like other players that could actually bring something other than hits to the ice, should be on this lineup. That especially with someone like even a Nick Bjugstad who's sitting like in the press box and. Or a Connor Dewar, or like just anyone that can shoot the puck. It's hard to watch right now, especially when the Blues are like actually have some of those players on the fourth line that are capable. And it's not even that like Delorier is the only player that can bring physicality to the Wild lineup either. Like the whole roster's full of those guys. Like it's not like he's bringing anything special, and he's the only guy that brings a certain thing to this team.
No, and it, like to put it into perspective, Delorier had 3 hits tonight, which is fine. But Brandon Duhaime, who essentially had the same ice time as him, also had 2 hits. And I trust Brandon Duhaime way more in the offensive end than I ever would with Delorier. And to like clamor for physicality and stuff when you have Marcus Foligno running around like a madman and getting 10 hits while also bringing everything else he does, it just like if you're not going to be, whether you agree with this strategy or not, if you're not going to be the borderline guy, the guy who's going to do borderline stuff when the refs aren't calling anything, then he just doesn't have a spot on this on a winning team. Like he doesn't. Yeah. If he's not going to do any of that stuff, he's not, shouldn't be there.
Yeah, it'd be like, I don't know, like even going around the league, like you could see teams looking to do that thing, like having Wayne Simmonds on the Leafs or Kyle Clifford suiting up for game one, and other teams do similar things. But I feel like those two players are better and can score goals and are just like more skilled than Delorier. And I'm looking at his box score today. Obviously, he's played like he's the only Wild player that has less than 10 minutes of ice time.
Duhaime had
8:58.
But
he had less.
They're line mates, so that makes sense.
So I'm just looking down the individual stats, and it is really like that Tony Snell, the meme, the like 28 minutes played and like 0-0-0 everything. His only stats that aren't zero. So, like, no contributions whatsoever. He had 1 takeaway and 3 hits, like you said.
And he was a minus one. And don't forget that minus one.
And he was a minus one. I don't think I...
I'll use plus minus one when it helps my case.
Yeah. It's just like, yeah, zero shot attempts, zero rush attempts, zero rebounds created, obviously. Zero penalties, even. Penalties on zero. Giveaway zero.
And not even just on the box score either. He was pretty much invisible. I mean, he was only on the ice for 9 minutes, but he was also invisible when he was on the ice. So
I know. And like, maybe it was just because I was looking for him when, like, the minute after the Wild traded for him and we got that, like, month of him being here in the regular season. But like, I felt like he was way more noticeable in the actual regular season. Like, you were kind of looking out for him because he was going to start some stuff. But he's just been, like, in these playoffs, it's just been nothing. He's given you nothing. And I know it's whatever, it's a fourth line guy, but this stuff matters in the playoffs, I feel like, because you're going down your lineup and goals matter so much. So if there's one game-winning goal because of one player, then you kind of harp on the guy immediately. So, like, it's I always relate back to, like, it's those Rangers teams with Dan Girardi on the top pairing. Like, you shouldn't be there. He gets, like, shelled almost immediately. Your depth guys matter in the playoffs so much more. You kind of hide them in the regular season. It evens out to have your stars be better. But it's stuff like this that is just, like, confusing and kind of why I feel like some hockey teams shoot themselves in the foot by, like, the way that they want to play and what players they have in the lineup.
We're just going to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back. Welcome back to That Was Wild. Alternatives. The Wild do have alternatives in the press box. You mentioned Connor Dewar, who saw a few regular season games, so there's no reason why they shouldn't call on him. Bjugstad, I honestly was... I had to double check to make sure Bjugstad wasn't hurt, because I couldn't figure out why he wasn't playing.
No, I know. Like, I liked how he's played on that fourth line when was it? When they rotated, when someone was hurt and Jost had to go up, and then Bjugstad was playing center.
It was the fourth. I think it was at the end of the season with when they played Colorado, and I think it was Colorado.
Yeah, and he's played really well this season. I feel like when he's come in, he's kind of been on and off the ice with just scratches and coming in for injuries. But I liked his game so, like, throughout the time that he's played. Like, he's just been adequate, and I feel like they just need someone that can actually put pucks on the net at, like, a reasonable angle and know what to look for on the ice. Like, can see where their teammates are going and anticipate plays other than, like, I'm going to go hit a guy. Like, I like that style of hockey, don't get me wrong. I like physicality. I like a little bit of violence sprinkled in my hockey. But, like, it's just, it's come to a point where I don't want to, like, it to impede on my joy of seeing a team win a game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised to see him check out either.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, yes, he has all the... off, like, on the bench stuff. Like, you've seen videos of him, like, pumping up everyone.
How many bench guys do we need?
No, I know. Like, you have Foligno doing that, and he actually, like, contributes. Like, Duhame's done enough of that as a rookie, and then, like,
Duhame might do it enough for everybody. Like, he might need to scale it back, honestly, just a little bit.
I know. And then the Foligno's, like, the biggest hype man. Dumba is, like, the biggest hype man of everyone. And then, like, it's incredible. And then, yeah, I don't know. Maybe you need, like, a French-Canadian one to translate for Frédéric Gaudreau or something. Like, that's why Delorier is there.
Yeah. I mean, the other wild card would be to bring in Marco Rossi.
Yeah. As much as I wish for that, and I tweeted from the HW account, I don't think that's happening. I think he's still injured, like...
I was doing some digging to try and figure out what his status was, and I couldn't find anything. There's no mention of it anywhere.
He was hanging out at a Twins game, I think, over the weekend.
Yeah.
So I don't think he's ruthlessly practicing
He's in the area.
Yeah.
I know he's technically he's on the Black Aces squad, technically, but...
I don't think he is yet. He's not technically. Mm. When they did the call-up things, I don't think he was there. He's in Minnesota. He's, like, with the team. But I don't think he's technically, like, on the... Let me check this.
I'm positive. I did check this before.
Are you sure? I think...
Well, I mean, that's a moonshot. I really don't expect them to do it. I don't even think that would be calling. But It would be cool.
It would be.
It would definitely
cool. Him just to come in and just like. And
how much damage could he, like, I mean, how much, like, how much damage could he do to the Wild's chances if you only gave him 9 minutes a night?
No, I know. And even, like, and Dean Evason gave me the little sprinkle of hope about, like, that we might be able to see, like, a significant lineup change and maybe have someone come in because he changed up the lines in the middle of the game tonight. He put Gaudreau with Kirill and Zuccarello, and then Hartman down with Fiala and Boldy for a little bit. So he's trying things out, obviously. So being having my far-fetched hope that if Rossi comes in and it goes in with Fiala and Boldy and have Gaudreau go down, then I don't know. But it was a little bit of flexibility that we haven't seen from Evason so far this series.
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't... He hasn't had to. I know they're down 3-2 in the series, but like the Wild really have been the better team almost every night. There's been little like dives. They'll have like a bad period, and that bad period sinks them, and it's tough to watch.
Yeah, I think the only time where I could definitively say they're worse team for more than a period was in game four. There's the first two periods basically, and then the third period they were like completely dominant and almost came back because they were losing the shot battle by like I think 15 at one point, and then they came back to almost tie it. I think they were within a couple shots, but it's frustrating, and we knew this coming into the series that it was going to be tight. It was going to be, we kept on saying bloodbath. It was going to be seven game series, everyone was saying six or seven, whatever. And now we're at that point where it's six or seven, with game six coming up on Thursday. And I don't know, like it could go either way. Like we could still see the Wild win two games in a row and it wouldn't surprise me. But right now I'm not feeling that confident in this team. Just because they rely so much on one player each night. And with Fiala not really performing up to the late regular season way he was, and Boldy not even really starting to get that much, like he's been kind of surprising. And I think he's looked good with like the stick handling, and he looked really solid for his first kind of playoff experience. But they rely so much on Kirill to create everything. Like he had 10 shot attempts, like, just tonight, and then 5 shots on goal. Of course, 2 of those went in and everything. And they're mostly from mid-range too. Like that's the thing that like the Wild tonight didn't get a lot of shots from up close. Like they're like if you look at the shot chart, it's very much so like from the right side, right around the face-off circle on the outside. Like it's not really close, and it's not really getting into the face of Binnington. And to the Wild's credit, they also kind of limited the Blues shots to the outside as well, and they had a lot of point shots and shots from their left circle. But it's just relying so much on one player that kind of leaves me worried and concerned for them to win two games in a row. But I don't know. Do you think they can still, like, do you think there's still a possibility?
I think there is a possibility. I think there's a strong possibility. Mm-hmm. If the Grief line is going and Kirill's line, or hell, just Kirill is going,
yeah,
they have a chance to win. And then all you need is a little bit from Fiala. Just even, you don't need late season Fiala. That Fiala was insane. That's, I don't think you're ever going to see that from him again. But yeah, they don't need much, especially with a team facing a team that's so depleted on the blue line.
Yeah, that's the thing too. Like, yeah, maybe that played. Yeah, maybe we're not giving enough credit that like Nick Leddy was absent for the two games that the Wild really played better than, I don't know. It's, yeah. And like you said, like with Fiala, it's tricky because you don't obviously need like a dominant, like suddenly turned into prime Pavel Bure, whatever. Kevin Fiala, but I feel like you just need some more from him and like more playmaking, and maybe the Blues are just being too in his face. Like, it's just too much for him to really, I'm not saying like he can't handle physicality, but it's really, he needs like that extra inch of ice, and he's just not getting it at all. And that's why he like succeeded later, because we're kind of, I feel like he was getting that. He was getting some more open availabilities. Maybe Boldy was distracting defenses more. Maybe defenses were getting more, I guess, with the blue line kind of being more active is tricky. But yeah, I don't think Fiala is really getting the amount of ice and amount of space that he's really needs to flourish.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of hard to argue with that. I mean, he did get on the board tonight, so I mean, mm-hmm. That's good. That's at least a sign. It's kind of wild to say that he has got two assists tonight, but it still feels like he didn't really deserve those. Like, they were the two borderline, they were really, really huge hockey assists. Like, the biggest secondary assists. I don't know. That's always been the dilemma with Fiala, is that he should be played higher up in the lineup, but there are guys ahead of him that block the way. And that's just kind of the story of Fiala's career with the Wild so far.
Yeah, I'm seeing here, I know expected goals on a single, like, single
Don't
game
do
basis
this to me.
is really tricky. And I know, I swear he had a decent shot at the net tonight. Maybe my eyes were playing me. But it says he has 0.04 expected goals, and like Jonas Brodin had higher. The only two players, other than Nick Delorier, who obviously didn't attempt a shot tonight, had lower expected, was Alex Galgossi, who tied, and then Tyson Jost had 0.03. So when like Jacob Middleton has more than double your expected goals percentage than, or not percentage, individual, then maybe it's a little time to revisit your shot. But yeah, it's tricky.
And that's,
I'm sure that's lying, because I'm positive that Fiala had like a shot right at like Binnington's chest or something from like close. So yeah, obviously when we're talking about Kevin Fiala, it's tricky to not mention the recent rumors that obviously reported, not really rumors, it's reports, but Jeff Merrick of Sportsnet said that the New Jersey Devils were interested in acquiring Kevin Fiala. And earlier this season, we had reports that the Ottawa Senators were interested. So all these teams that are kind of trying to make the next jump and have some cap to spend want Fiala. And obviously, this is not really much to do with the postgame, but I feel like now is the appropriate time to talk about it. I think, and people were saying, because of obviously with Kevin Fiala being a restricted free agent, I saw a lot of Wild fans talking about the possibility of an offer sheet. Now, I don't think an offer sheet will happen, because it's rarely happened. Obviously, we have only seen the Sebastian Aho offer sheet rejected, and then the Kotkaniemi one go through recently. And I believe, off the top of my head, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I believe it's anything higher. It's between 6.5 and 8.1 million. That is a first, second, and a third round pick. That is compensation, and then anything above 8.1, so like 8.12, I think, technically above, is two firsts, a second, and a third. And while those picks look great, that's cool, and they look fancy for a player like Kevin Fiala, if he gets offer sheeted by a team, I don't know, like Detroit or something, and then suddenly they're a playoff team, how, like, would that be worth a first round pick that ends up being like 20th overall or whatever, and then you lost a decent player on your roster for nothing and just picks? Yeah, it's tough to balance. I don't think it's happening, just because of the rarity of offer sheets happening just by themselves, and then with the added thing of how much it will cost. And I think that really the Wilds are willing to give up Fiala for less than that.
Fiala's not going to get offer sheeted. On the rare chance that he does get offer sheeted, there's almost no way that he gets higher than 8.2.
Yeah, I don't think he's signing that either. I think because if you get an offer sheet, you're not just signing a 1 year deal. Like, I know Kotkaniemi did, but he's younger. He has more control because at the end of that offer sheet, he's going to still be an RFA. This is a 1 year deal. He only has 1 year left to control. So really from the Wild's point of view, it's saying giving up 1 year of Fiala because he's going to be hitting the market at the end of next season, unless you really want to commit to him long term, but that's going to cost more and et cetera, et cetera. It's really just 1 year of Fiala. You're giving him up. And for a team that'll sign an offer sheet, you're not going to sign a 1 year offer sheet because then you're just going to walk right to free agency. And then if you have more than that, then it is obviously, I think, a little bit more. But it's tricky because obviously Fiala will want the most money that he can get, as smart that he can do. But I could see it pushing into the summer, and it's tricky because Fiala is such a good player and he's had just a career year. But I don't know. I don't know what else to say on it. We'll talk more about it, I guess, throughout the actual off season.
Okay. Last question then. Marc-Andre Fleury or Talbot?
Oh, I don't want to think about this. were any of the goals tonight Fleury's fault? He had a really juicy rebound on the...
The only one I could possibly say you could pin on him was the second Tarasenko goal.
Yeah. Yeah. From like mid-range. Like it was like a face-off dot. Yeah, that was hard. But also like how... The theme has been rebounds. Like game one, it was all rebound goals. And then the second Blues goal? I believe it was the second. It was on a really big rebound to Ryan O'Reilly. Or was it first?
It was the first.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, obviously, Ryan O'Reilly scores incredible goals. But it's tricky to see that kind of just massive rebound just given on a plate. I still don't know if I would make the change just because Fleury is someone that you've kept this whole time. And kept along, and yeah, I think I would still go with Fleury just because of experience and being here, and just if you make the change, then you're always wondering what if, rather than if you don't make the change, then you kind of reason with yourself that, oh, we didn't make it, and that was the choice we made because Fleury has been our guy.
Yeah. I mean, I would probably go with Talbot. I think they would be kicking themselves I think they would be kind of doing the opposite thing.
Okay.
Just for that same reason. It was like he played so well down the stretch.
Mm-hmm.
This is probably the first night that you can point to the box score and, you know, say 27 saves on 31 shots. Fleury, yeah. You had a bad night. We're going to have to go with Cam.
Yeah. Especially when he was 5 for 8 in high danger situations, like allowing almost like 40% of your high danger shots isn't that good.
Yeah, I also, it's kind of tough though because normally I would say go to the other guy if the team needs a kick in the pants, and I don't really feel like the team really does. Again, it's kind of tough to look at any one thing that the team is doing and be like, "This." They haven't had a bad game, a whole bad game. So it's tough to say we're going to make the change just to shake things up a bit. But
yeah. Yeah, it's tricky. It's tricky regardless.
I did get a hold of the list. Marco Rossi is not on the list.
Yeah.
So he technically isn't an option.
It's fine.
We'll end it there then.
Mm-hmm.
on a somber note.
Yeah. Yeah, honestly, I don't know what to think about this team. They're confusing, but yeah, hopefully they could just win two, and then we'll keep on talking about this team other than talking about moves and trades and drafts and all that stuff. But let's just push that further.
Yeah, they only own one more game, and then we're back to square one. Then it's down to,
yeah.
So, okay, well, we'll wrap it up here. That was wild. A Minnesota Wild Reaction podcast. I've been Matt Smith.
I've been Thomas Williams.
Have a good night.
See you.